Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. He is at the Civitas Institute reflecting upon the decision by the Trump administration for reciprocal tariffs, Liberation Day. Since then, tariffs have been part of the argument of about America around the world. Right now, we're going to apply ourselves to what it means for the American economy. Richard, a very good evening to you. A headline in the Financial Times these last days points to an explanation for the tariffs since April's conversation started, which is the S&P ratings for the American credit worthiness was not changed as they anticipated it would be because of the Big Beautiful Bill's tax cut. And it was not changed, according to S&P, because of the extraordinary income of tariffs since April collected by the federal government, offsetting the damage that would be done to the debt by the Big Beautiful Bill. That certainly is a major success for the Trump administration if it's real. I want to begin with criticism and recommendation of the tariff and ask your help to understand the other side of the story. Let's begin with what I've been told the most benign way to say it is. Tariffs are just a VAT for American consumers. Good evening to you, Professor.
Yeah, well, it's a VAT the likes of which we've never seen before. The essence of a VAT is to try to have a tax on incremental gains of any and all production. And the theory is that if you collect it through ordinary channels, it's less disruptive than any other kind of tax that you can impose. What he has done is imposed a selective VAT and has varied the rate from one country to another, from one set of goods to another, and has kept it constantly up in the air so he could change it again at will. No VAT has ever worked on that basis. You could call it whatever you want, but essentially what these taxes are is they are essentially a deadweight loss, and they discriminate between various kinds of goods. And so what they do is they not only slow down the overall economy, but they distort the choices between this, that, and the other product. If one country is hit very hard with tariffs, another country will start to make the sales, even if the first country, which is tariffed, is more efficient in the production of goods than the second. And so there is no coherent story that you could put together which explains why giving administrative discretion to the president actually can improve the output. Now, some people say, well, he collected $122 or $125 billion in tariffs, but this is a very small number compared to the amount of money that you could collect from ordinary inventions. And the question you have to ask is, do the tariffs essentially, as they increase one source of revenue, reduce other sources of revenue by making all the companies that are involved in these industries less profitable than they would otherwise be? And the answer to that question is surely yes. One of the things that Trump has done in many areas is improve operations. The reversal of policy on energy and the environment is something that I've always strongly supported. That can certainly increase value. So what you could do is you could have a large gain from one set of activities, and that will conceal the losses that are posed by the tariff policy that the president has imposed. And you then try to work it through. You have the next question is, he wants to impose tariffs. That's the most beautiful word in the world. But all of his deals are reciprocal. And so now when American companies want to sell overseas, they have to pay the tariffs. And it turns out that's going to hurt their bottom line so that the tariffs will now reduce the income that we can get from our exported goods. So there's no happy story about the way in which these things operate. And the system of reciprocal tariffs is absolutely the worst thing whatsoever, because I may be a huge purchaser from you, but there's nothing that I own that you want to buy. And so you'll get all sorts of local trade deficits. But if you look at it globally, some company which essentially is paying a huge amount of money and therefore suffering a cash loss, is then going to sell those goods to somebody else and they're going to get the cash back again.
All right, let's go to another charge against the terrorists.
Okay, anything you want.
This is not a defense, this is an offense.
I know.
That they are unstable because of the bilateral nature of them. Britain is to pay 10%, the EU is to pay 15%, and because they're both trading with the U.S., someone has to figure it out, and it could change tonight if the president changes his mind. Is that a legitimate charge against the tariffs?
Of course it is, because essentially what people want in business relationship is the stability of your background legal institutions. And so the great achievement of America is that its capital structures are very strong, and the government essentially basically tried to organize the situation and to make clear what companies were doing and to avoid various kinds of machinations and frauds and special kinds of arrangements. The moment you have these tariffs, the president can set them, but it also means that there are all sorts of people going to try to influence him to say, put the tariff on the other guy, take the tariff off of me. And those forces conflict with one another, and one wins and the other loses, but they're all deadweight losses because of the opportunity. What you need in the days of Adam Smith and David Hume is a steady legal environment. And so even if you had a tax of, say, 5%, that's probably better than having a world in which one day you're at zero and another day that you're at 8, because the variation is as important as is the actual median. And Trump just doesn't seem to understand that. And what he's trying to do is to play. What makes it even worse is now when you look at the tariff game, it's not just about tariffs and economics anymore. I want to basically go after Chile because they're prosecuting my friend. And he's allowed to do that. Now, there are going to be lots of innocent people in both countries are going to be hurt when you start putting these things up. And so if you have the United States imports a lot of Brazilian beef or something like that, you're going to have to go to other sources to try to find it. And that's very difficult, because when you try to do these other contracts, are you going to do them for a week, a month, a year, or 10 years?
Please continue.
And so you don't know how long these are going to last. And so there are always two elements. The higher the tariff in general, the worse the situation. But if the variation from peak to bottom is, in fact, every bit as important, and you'd rather have a stable system with a slightly higher median than a lower median with a high degree of variance. And Trump essentially doesn't see this as a social good. But if you're a politician trying to basically garner influence in exchange for favors given, this system is perfect for you to amass your powers, even though it makes everything that is done in the United States less effective and more inefficient in terms of the way in which it works.
Another charge against the tariffs is that they are an inefficient way to collect taxes. I know that over the years you've educated me about the VAT being an efficient way to collect taxes. This is inefficient, but the system we have also is inefficient, correct?
Yes, I mean, there's a lot of favor saying go to some kind of a consumption tax, but that's the debate that's out here. If you want to have an income tax, the correct way in which to do this is to keep it relatively low and relatively broad, and not to put it heavily on some sectors and not on the others, and then to make sure that you don't give out special allowances by way of undeserved deductions, which will again distort revenue. And so what you're trying to do is to go back to the ideal starting from Aristotle through Adam Smith, in which taxes should be low and flat, collected upon all sorts of marketable goods. And what Trump has done is gone to the exact opposite situation. Be high here, low there. There's no durability. And the greater the flexibility you give to the president, the greater the uncertainty and the greater the cost to the markets that he regulates.
Remind me, Richard, what is the resistance to a flat tax in Congress? Why is it? Since the case you make is not refuted by anyone I've ever read, why are they holding on to the income being taxed?
Because what happens is the people in Congress basically like to milk somebody for favors. My friend, the late Fred McChesney, said the bigger the company is, not only does the more influence it have over other people, but the more vulnerable it is to government exacting things from them. And so one of the political economy stories was when in 1986 we lowered and flattened the tax, what happened is that just gave a new opportunity for people in Congress to say, either you give so much to this particular project, or we're going to find some kind of a tax burden that we can impose upon you. Congress is like the president. The more flexibility that it has, the more power that it has, and the more influence and the more money. The whole point of the flat tax, the whole point of my basically takings argument, was that if you can create a system where those things are lost, then the only way that congressmen could benefit themselves is to improve the overall political situation. So you get rid of the enormous conflict of interest that exists whenever selective interventions by a bunch of determined people, whether it be Congress or the president or administrator, you have to neutralize those guys. And that's what the flat tax is designed to do. It could be on either income or consumption. I favor the consumption tax because one of the great problems with an income tax is you never know how to tax capital gains. And you don't have that problem if the only thing you look at is basically spending that amount of money which you taxing that amount of money which you spend. And so what you do is you tell people set up a giant IRA, account, put as much money as you in on that. You don't get taxed on it. But the moment you take it out, then we're going to tax you as ordinary income. It's a very efficient system, but it doesn't work for the benefit of politicians. They want the discretion to shift benefits and burdens because that's the way they enhance their power.
And so in general, you're saying that the argument that the tariff income is offsetting the losses from the big, beautiful bill, which has the 2017 tax cut in it, we've got a double whammy coming here. We've got tariffs, and we've got a regressive tax, actually, in which you are punishing your high-end earners.
Well, that's always been the problem with certain systems of taxation, is your richest people are the ones who will make the most productive investment. And if you tax their return, what's going to happen is, relatively speaking, they will basically do less than they ought to do. Fortunately, a huge amount of wealth is in various kinds of retirement funds. And so the changes in capital structure, if one of these funds sells and changes stock, they don't pay a capital gains tax. So there's a bit more efficiency built into the requirement because all the money that are put in these retirement trusts and so forth, the IRA account and so forth, essentially trades in a tax-free universe until it's delivered. But if you try and change the system more comprehensively, you're going to run into massive political resistance. Yeah. And the thing to understand is it's perfectly bipartisan. Republicans like to take favors. Democrats like to take favors.
Let's go to the fourth objection to what? Tariffs, cronyism. It makes it very easy for the authority to reward its friends and contributors and to close the door on those who are in the political opposition.
That's the point that we started with. The first thing that you mentioned was you lower the tax on England and increase the tax that you impose on the EU. And you can do that for all sorts of collateral reasons that have nothing to do with economics. You want them to spend more money on defense. That's one way in which you could try to coerce them to do it. The problem is there is no way when you play these collateral games that you can be sure that the president or the Congress is our objective is a legitimate or a sensible one. They can do this to manipulate the system for good reasons or for bad reasons. And with a man like Trump, you don't know from one end of the day to the next what it is he's thinking or what he's doing. The only thing that he cares about in everything he says is how it is that he manages to reduce the influence of the courts by denying people who lose under his system any rights to appeal any claims of due process. And he wants to reduce the power of Congress by doing as much of this as he can through executive orders. And he'd do that on domestic issues and on foreign issues. And so the real danger is that given the pressure of time and the power of the unified presidency is that the tripartite system of government is under genuine attack today.
One more detail, very quickly. Last night, a report from Bloomberg was noted that it's unclear in the EU negotiations how much Europe is going to be required to be invited to invest in America, that would be a number that would derive from the whatever the reciprocal tariff number is. Is that an advantage to have leverage over Europe's investment in America?
Well, look, I mean, the real question is how much of this will deviate from voluntary systems of Europeans to invest in the Americas. If they say you have to invest $500 billion in our country and they're going to invest $600 billion anyhow, it's a constraint that really doesn't bind.
Right.
But if it turns out they're trying to force investment and then trying to force it into sectors where it makes no sense, then it's very difficult. So maybe it's great to invest in steel companies. But when the takeover took place by the Japanese, Trump wants to have this magic golden share, which allows him to determine the direction of the investment. And that's a terrible situation, because now what you're saying is you have to invest in America, and the same president that got the power to impose the tariff is the one who's going to figure out how to spend the money.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Civitas Institute responding to my reading of why the tariffs are a good thing and a bad thing, goes back and forth. We're going to turn to another issue that's right in front of the news. Venezuela.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.